Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Sunday is not the day to relax, because Triple M Footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
Rugby league. We love it.
Shut up.
The footy's on Triple M.
Stand up and applaud.
Gotta love your rugby league.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's P-R-O-S-P-A. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Oh, good afternoon and welcome to Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Gordon Tallis, James Graham, James Hooper and Ben Dobbin with you for the next 2 hours ahead of the Knights taking on the Dolphins. We are live from Suncorp Stadium, all thanks to Prosper. Small business owners should visit prosper.com today. That's P-R-O-S-P-A, T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply. The next 2 hours, we're going to unpack South Sydney's dramas, whether or not this new signing that's coming from England is going to make a difference. We'll talk about Manly. We'll also look at the Roosters. Broncos also back in the winner's circle last night with a 34-10 win over the West Tigers. But a very good afternoon to all three of you. Let's start with the really upsetting news that happened over the weekend, over the week, with the passing of Terry Hill. Gordon, tell us, a really devastating set of circumstances as it happened overseas. He passed away due to a heart attack, and one of the most iconic pitches through the state of origin and through rugby league is yourself and Terry and that battle, and it's been used many times. You also knew the Larrikin off the field very well.
Yeah, obviously on the field, Terry Hill was one of those guys, for people that didn't know, he fought the draft. He must have been an 18-year-old kid. He was wanted to go play for Wests out there under Warren Ryan and play with his great mate Jimmy Dimmick and the boys, and then I think the Roosters wanted him, so he took the game to court and he beat the draft. So, but as a player, he was a centre. He was a great athlete. He was big. He was strong. He was fast, and he bullied the bullies. Like, I watched him play Newcastle. He would get in Paul Harrigan's grill in State of Origin. He would chirp at you. He would always get underneath your skin. But if there was someone ready to go, he was always one to jump in your face. He used to spend a lot of time at the Police Boys Club in Sydney, at the Newtown Police Boys Club, so he knew how to hold his hand up as well. But then off the field, you'll remember him on the footy show when he had the gonads and no-nads like the dogs, and he was always in the gold too, but he was charismatic off the field.
There is some footage now from those footy shows that are starting to come through.
And he interviewed Cindy Crawford and all that kind of stuff, and he said, do I look like some Hollywood star? And she just looked at him, but he didn't care, like putting himself under the grill. But Terry, it's a very sad day, and when I found out, I was shocked.
You know, yeah.
Just very condolences to his
family. To all the family, and I think we all four of us here and the Triple M family just all remember how fondly everybody remembers him, and just what a real Larrikin.
If you ever met him, you will remember where you met him.
Yeah.
That's one thing for sure.
Yeah, we're right. Oh, all right. Last night, the Panthers 26 defeated a very fast late finishing Cowboys side 20. There was a lot into this game. G'day, Hoops. How are you? Great to have you with us as well. And Jamma, let's unpack that game. They got out to a big lead, the Panthers, but the Cowboys, they showed some fight in the second half.
Yeah, it is great to be here. And obviously, you know, after last week, Gordon Tallis is back. And
well, he's back from his suspension.
He's back from his suspension. I don't know.
What sort of suspension?
There was no suspension.
There was a suspension.
Well, look,
you own a party to it,
well,
but he's back, and I spoke to him this week.
He is. Well, also, I
don't take your phone calls.
I don't know if Gordy got to listen to the show.
I did.
But we have prepared a little highlights package just in case you missed anything. Okay. So this is from last week.
This is
Paul from Cabramatta. You're a Parramatta fan. Go ahead, mate.
Yeah, hey, no, mate, not a fan of you, Dobbo, but anyway.
Why do we have to bring this bloke up? He's barred. Paul from Cabramatta.
No.
Hey, listen, stop getting your friends to ring in, Gordon, to try and hatch and stitch me up.
No, that's just the truth, mate. That's like every rugby league fan out there, Dobbo. Just don't open the lines, big fella. You never know what you're going to get.
You've got a big from Cabramatta, he'll never be calling the Sunday Sin Bin anyway ever again.
Paul, anytime, mate. I love your call. And my phone did light up when that caller comes through.
Oh, it was brilliant, yeah. Gord. It really was. It was unexpected. It was brutally honest, but fair. And we were all so happy.
Is that right? Well, I wasn't happy about it, and you know that. And
why not?
I'm pleased to have you back anyway. You know, I hope the week off did some soul searching and you realised just how lucky you are to work with the three of us. That's all I'm going to say to you.
Don't throw you in with those others. Two talent. One's played like a million tests for England. One's a proper journalist.
Yeah.
That is on television. That works.
I'm on television. Number one rating.
I don't watch SBS. I don't watch SBS.
We've started poorly. I mean, this is why I questioned him back in this show. Anyway, let's get into the Panthers defeating the Cowboys. Can we talk a bit of rugby league here? The Cowboys fast finishing, but they gave this side too much of a start, and Penrith's defence, their goal on defence in the second half, was outstanding in the end.
It happens when you play the big classy sides. I think you give them a bit too much respect, and watching it now, and watching how it unfolded, the Cowboys probably went there and, we're playing this juggernaut, Penrith, we're playing them. And then all of a sudden they realised, we're a chance. They started throwing the ball around, they started going through the middle, and it's just a time situation. But Penrith, what a classy side. The way they defend, the way they didn't give up. They probably weren't at their best last night, and the Cowboys had a real opportunity. That's the best the Cowboys have played probably in a month of footy. If they play anybody else, I reckon they probably get the chocolates.
You're right, Gordon. It is the best Cowboys have played in some time. But when you come up against a team like Penrith that grind better than anybody, that play the long game better than anybody, you know, it's difficult to break down, and you kind of do need to throw the ball around. But their defence, their goal line defence, like, it was absolutely sublime. It was a pleasure to watch, to see people have so much pride, so much care in their try line, the desperation, the willingness to turn up for one another, you know, that their systems, if you watch it closely, and just how, you know, if somebody makes a chink in the armor, then there's somebody there prepared to come and cover their mate's back. Yep. If they make a slight mistake or they turn their shoulder, it's actually, if you enjoy good defense, and I'm not talking, people think good defense, sometimes you enjoy the big shots, but if you actually enjoy watching good teams defend, Penrith,
the system's unbelievable.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, you're spot on, Jimmy. The way that they scramble on their goal line, like, there's a reason why they've won three straight premierships. It's all built on their defense. We know what they can do with the football, and they are genuinely one of the best attacking teams in the competition as well. But it was on show again last night. The Cowboys, that'll let them play for, because they'd been embarrassed by Cronulla. They were beaten the week prior by Parramatta. Back at home, obviously it's the Anzac Day round, so there is a lot of emotion involved in every single game. And I thought Penrith, without Moses Leota, no Scott Sorensen, and then Taruva, Sonia Tito Taruva, was a late withdrawal as well. The Cowboys had a good opportunity there, and they gave a great account of themselves in the second half, but they got a true read on exactly where they're at the moment, which is still a little way off those top teams.
Well, they're a 4-4 side at the moment, 4 wins, 4 losses. Ivan Cleary spoke in the press conference about why Taruva did not make his way into the side. Here it is.
Yeah, Sonny didn't play mainly because he was going through his contract decision and still negotiating. So it was something that has been sort of going on for a few weeks, and I think people don't quite understand how much that can take out of someone, especially a young man with such a big decision, not just professionally wise, but emotionally. So that's why we gave him the night off. We'll be back next week.
So he
can I just bring that up?
Yeah, bring it up.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I said, yep, yeah.
What'd you say?
I said that he wouldn't be going to St George. He wants to stay at Penrith. And West
you
Tigers
said he will be staying at
Penrith. He won't be going to St George.
You declared he was staying at Penrith.
Just let's just get a couple of things straight here. 100%, he wasn't going to St George. He was never going to St George. The West Tigers came in 10 days ago, mate. That happens in negotiations.
No, you said he was staying at Penrith,
but they weren't involved. When I got told that, the West Tigers hadn't showed any interest.
So you went off half cocked.
No, I didn't. I just went off the mail that I got from within the club. That's why he's off, because emotionally he's very upset.
It's an email. Let it bounce. bounce back, brother. Put it in spam.
Anyway, Karooba will be a West Tiger next year. Black and fold never. Black and gold never
black
fold.
Black and gold never fold. Well, get it right, another, can you?
Mate, I reckon once a month you get something wrong, Dobbo.
Yeah, well, you know, when you keep on hitting them, you get, you know, when you get 10 hits, you're
even
allowed
Tiger
to have a swing.
Woods, mate,
you're allowed
Tiger
to have a swing.
Yeah,
equally
as Ben, equally as importantly, I found that interesting that they rested him last night because it was a similar situation like when Jerome Luai signed with the Tigers. He was also given time off. The regular season hadn't started then, but he was given time away from training. Yeah. It's an intriguing play because you see, you know, there's a lot of players on a regular basis that have got tough decisions to make around contracts. I wonder, is the 10-day cooling period over yet? Because obviously the Tigers have announced that Tito Taruva will be with them, but a Penrith still, you know, attempting to, because we know they've got money off the back of James Fisher-Harris leaving, are they still in the fight and trying to convince him to backflip?
Yeah, it's a good call, that, Hoops, but, you know, I think potentially you could be onto something there. But you know what? It's a luxury that Penrith have, that they have that ability. Not many other teams can afford to do that. If they're losing one of their starting players or one of their starting players is going through this, seldom would you see a club give that player the week off. Penrith are in a fantastic position to be able to do this. And again, it's what sets them apart. They're so far ahead, and these are the I guess what you might call on the field, the 1% of things that you can do to gain a massive difference. So, you know, they don't have a Taruva out there that's, you know, mentally and emotionally not tuned into the game and the game plan.
But the cynic in me goes back to when Justin Hodges at the Broncos signed with the Roosters. Wayne gave him some time off too.
Reserve grade.
Yeah, well, he just never come back in.
He just never got back in. But we had a young Brent Tate. So there is that theory. Why would you put time into someone that's going to leave your club when you can start developing and get someone in there a little bit earlier that's not too far away and start developing him?
The Penrith.
I mean, that's the theory, right? And then when I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, well, Ivan's got every right to do that because he's the coach. But just the way that he explained it. And it does get a bit emotional, you know, when you're there because it's a big decision and it's not just about footy and, you know, it can drain you a little bit, you know. I'm away from the game.
It'll distract.
Stress, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be a distraction.
It can be a distraction. And also even, you know, with Taruva, it's a lot of money for him to deal with. And you know, for a young man, like that's a huge amount of money for him, and he like that would distract as well. It would take your focus away from.
There's a lot going.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Penrith, and we saw an amazing stat came out a couple of days ago. It might have been last week when James Fisher-Harris left. That they named all the players that had left the Penrith side since that grand final loss against Melbourne, and the side is a premiership side in its own. How long can Penrith, and Hoops, you're probably best to answer this, how long can Penrith go on, because of the salary cap, continuing to lose? Now it's James Fisher-Harris, Jerome Luai, and now Taruva. And everybody goes, oh, this nursery, the
Melbourne
depth.
Storm.
I understand
how many they've lost.
I know, but I don't think there's ever been a side that has lost so many players in such a short amount of time. I understand Melbourne have obviously lost a lot of players.
No, listen. I think Melbourne, on their theory, got eaten up a little bit, but Penrith, with they've got so much talent, I think they just haven't gotten bidding wars. There's no doubt that they could have kept some of their players.
They've obviously got some next players coming on.
But also, it's not necessarily a bad thing. If you look at other sports and teams that have dominated for years and years, one of the trickiest parts is how to refresh the squad, bring some new players in, how it drives motivation. Like the old saying is, you can't allow teams to grow old together. I think it was Sir Alex Ferguson said that, and that's a, you know, in other sports, a tough decisions calls you have to make. But I don't see this necessarily as a negative thing for Penrith. Yet on the surface of it, you want to keep some of those players that are moving on, undoubtedly. But that what it does, it refreshes the squad. It motivates people. So now they're like Taruva, Luai, Fisher-Harris, we want to send them out as winners.
Yeah.
And they bring fresh blood into the squad.
where they've really got it right and absolutely nailed it is their elite junior pathways. And we know that they've got the biggest junior rugby league nursery in the world, but never previously in the history of Penrith, even when they've won premierships. I mean, the first time that they won a premiership in 91, and then again they won a premiership in 2003. They've never had such a large proliferation of local juniors all in the 17 on grand final day. So that's where they're really nailing the business now, and they probably in years gone by used to get the eyes picked out of them by other teams, but over the course of the last decade, that's where they've really got things spot on.
Yeah, well, they're very, very strong, and either way, they're going to be very hard to beat come when the whips are cracking at the back end of the season.
Well, a bit like Melbourne Storm, like, you keep the ones that are so important, and that's no disrespect to the others,
sure.
But you don't think Nathan Cleary, mate, when they get in a bidding war with him, and they got in a bidding war with, you know, Dylan Edwards and probably, you know, Leota, and there's, or like a Liam Martin, like the, or Isaiah Yeo. So there's someone sitting there, they go, no, that's our priority. So then they would have it, but it's just their own season.
The one that I still struggle with and Hoops is how Appy left. And I'm surprised that there wasn't obviously the money
in
the cap
for... Well, they had Mitch Kenny coming through.
I realise that, but would you take Mitch Kenny over... Happy. Yeah, but I suppose they just see value in other players as well.
That's when the salary cap works. So there's only so much money you can spend on so many players. And they go, well, okay, but we've got to keep Dylan Edwards soon. We've got Nathan coming off contract. You know, we've got these young kids. You know, that's just the way that – and they probably thought, well, we got Fish and we got, you know, Moses Leota and we got Liam Martin, we got Isaiah Yeo. So, you know, can we afford to lose Appy Coruscant?
If you go back to Dobbo to when it was Appy's final season at Penrith, they actually were starting Mitch Kenny a lot of the time, and Appy would come off the bench once the sting had gone out of the game after about 20 minutes. Then Mitch Kenny would play in the middle as a lock or as a middle forward. But their salary cap was jammed, was absolutely jammed. They needed to retain Nathan. They obviously wanted to keep Fisher, Harrison, Leota at that time. And so they made a hard decision around Appy. It wouldn't have been easy, but I think it's been vindicated because Mitch Kenny, as much as he's a different, completely different style of player to Appy, he's done a damn good job.
Well, also, it forces Penrith's hand to slightly change how they play. So as an opposition, okay, you think you maybe got Penrith covered how they play with Appy Coruscant or with Mitch Kenny starting, then Coruscant coming on, and then all of a sudden they have to change, which then in turn changes Isaiah Yeo's game, it changes Nathan Cleary's game, it changes Luai's game. So these adjustments, they hurt Penrith in terms of they don't have that calibre of player, but your preparation now is different, and it forces those superstar players to bring their game on and advance their game on even more. And with people like Cleary and Yeo, they're more than capable of doing that again and again and again.
Yeah, you're dead right. We're going to take a break, come back. This is the Sunday Simbin, all thanks to Prosper, live from Suncorp Stadium, ahead of the Dolphins taking on the Knights. Here, we'll take a break, come back with more.
Shut up, the foot is on Triple M.
This is the Triple M Sunday Simbin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Shut up, the foot is on Triple M.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sinbin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Welcome back to Triple M Sunday Sinbin. All thanks to Prosper. Catch, tackle, pass, kick, run, footy. It's pretty simple when you think about it. It's something everyone can do. Running a small business, though, not so simple. With Prosper, it can be. They're Australia's number one online lender to small business. They help small business owners with funding solutions of up to 500K for cash flow management, equipment purchases, growth opportunities. And the online application is easier than backing a winning team. Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA, T's and C's, and the standard credit criteria apply. Gordon Tallis, James Graham, James Hooper, Ben Dobbin with you ahead of the Knights taking on the Dolphins. We're live from Suncorp Stadium, and that game's going to be a beauty. Dan Ganane will be your caller for that one. South Sydney, boys. Once again, they were humbled by Melbourne on Anzac Day. And they had a small moment in the second half, but I just don't know where this goes from. James Hooper, I'm going to start with you. The drums are beating. Make no mistakes. Jason Demetrio's role as head coach there has to be coming under the microscope. They take on Penrith this week, and there has to be some concerns if you're the head coach there.
Yeah, look, there's a lot going on at Heffron Park, Ben. And no one enjoys it because no one likes seeing when a coach is going through what Jason Demetriou is going through at the moment. I think the way that it will play out is there's a board meeting on Tuesday. I don't think there'll be any major decisions made there. Or if there are, they will try to keep them in-house. Then I think after they play Penrith on Thursday night, I think in all likelihood, JD will be moved on. And I think that David Ferner will be announced as the interim coach for the remainder of the season. He obviously joined the club only a couple of weeks ago when they failed with that play to try and parachute Mal Meninga in there. And then off the back of that, I know that they're chasing Wayne Bennett extremely hard. Whether they can land his signature or not, I'm not sure, because you've also got a situation where, you know, Parramatta aren't winning games either, and the bankers at Parramatta might also decide that they need to make a hard decision.
The news that came out yesterday off the back of this, which is really interesting, is that Souths are on the verge of confirming Lewis Dodd's signature from the English Super League. Jammer, you obviously know him well and know this kid, but I'm hearing that there's a player by the name of Mickey Lewis, who's a very good footballer who could have come over. He's at Hull. There is equally as good. They're all saying he's the best young kid in the Super League, but I'm hearing there's other players that are equal, if not better. Or George Williams, who's been over here before as well. Who's making these decisions, and is that the right decision for South Sydney if they can bring him to the club?
Lewis Dodd would be a fantastic addition. This kid is all quality and all class. When I went back over to play with St. Helens in 2020, yep, he would have been at maybe 18 at the time. And you know, when you do your 13 on 13, the first 13 play against the reserves, and the reserves, you know, throw some shape at you and test you defensively. Well, this kid was all over us at times and was a real handful. And, you know, taking on some really experienced middle forwards, challenge you all the time. So this kid's, at that moment, you kind of...
What position does he play?
Scrum half, number seven. So you could see
Scrum half.
Scrum half. You could see there was something about him. And I remember thinking, this kid's going to go places. And he's had a fantastic career over there. We saw him come over here and play in the World Club Challenge, go to Penrith, kick the game-winning field goal in a World Club Challenge. Like, he's had an amazing career so far. I think if he is destined for the NRL, he needs to think very carefully about this and where he goes, because we've seen many forwards come out here
and be unbelievable. The English forwards have led.
And it's almost an easier place to play and ply your trade as a forward when you come in a specialist position with so much responsibility. That then therefore naturally increases the level of difficulty, and Lewis Dodd needs to be ready for, you know, the public scrutiny, the media scrutiny, everything that comes with it. But there's a huge upside if he gets it right at South Sydney. He could go down as like one of England's greatest if he can achieve things
because
here.
Sam Tompkins come over and he was, you know, on the world stage, and we'd hear so much about him, and he was dominating the English game. And then, you know, when you come out here and you're a playmaker,
it's different.
It's because it's 30 weeks, and it's the video analysis, and it's they're at you, and if you've got a weakness, that they're going to find it out. Where in England, you know, like when you talk to them, it's not every week there's a real tough Penrith-style Broncos game. You know what I mean? And even if you play like the wooden spoon side here, it's a tough night out.
Well, for Sam Tompkins, look at the fullbacks that he'd be up against. I think with Lewis Dodd, the advantage is there probably is a lack of depth in the halves, so he could come here and stand out. Where if you're a young English fullback, it's hard to come over here and stand out because it's an embarrassment of riches. But I think Lewis Dodd can make a difference. Be a big decision at the age of, I think, 22 from memory, to come over here. But South Sydney,
I don't understand the move with South Sydney. I don't understand.
You don't understand them going to England to get the
Hopper? No, I do understand that, but I'll tell you why. Okay, so Lachlan Ilias is there. They made the decision to go with Lachlan Ilias over Adam Reynolds, who's still playing in at the moment. Now, I can tell you now, George Williams, and I talked about this other bloke, Mickey Lewis. Well, Sam Burgess is coaches Williams, and Willie Peters coaches the other bloke. Both of them are South Sydney, ex-South Sydney players. So why wouldn't a South Sydney gone and talk to those former South Sydney players? Well, it doesn't make any sense. If you're picking, and we all agree with this, that the seven is the quarterback of the side. That's your that's your play.
So what's wrong with going with Lewis Dyke? And also in terms of the decision over Reynolds.
Now, hear me out here. Just hear me out before you – and I understand. I'm nothing against Lewis
Dyke. Okay. No, it's okay to change your mind.
Yeah, but whoever made the decision on Reynolds is making this decision. And have they – is this – is Demetrio involved in this decision? This is what
– I'll stop you there, Dobbo. I'll stop. Clearly, he's not involved, right? Because he's pushed all in terms of his chips on Lachlan Ilias being his halfback. I think he was only quoted as recently as last year saying that Ilias will be one of the best halfbacks South Sydney has ever produced. So that's obviously – you know, Lockie's now undergoing a major injury rehab. He won't play again this year. But by the Bunnies going out, chasing Lewis Dodd and signing a 22-year-old halfback from the UK, it clearly shows that they're going in a different direction from Lachie Ilias. Yes, you're right. They did make a mistake in relation to Adam Reynolds, but that's going back a number of years now, right? And yes, the people who made that decision, Jason Demetrio was heavily involved in that decision. He pushed all in on Lachie Ilias, and he thought that with the combination of Cody Walker, Damien Cook, Luttrell, that was going to be the right ingredients that could get the Bunnies up to the next level into the promised land.
But the same people that have made that decision with Jason Demetrio,
they did want Adam Reynolds. They did want Adam Reynolds, right?
On a 1-year deal. They wouldn't give him a long-term deal.
They ended up down to two.
And if they play good that year, then he – two. And then then they did want him, right? But then he just wanted more, right? Then look at him now. He's like basically – I know he plays good, but can they afford to pay someone that much money if he's only playing 11 or 14 games?
Well, if he gets you to a grand final and can win you a grand final.
But he didn't.
Well, let's see this.
But hold on, he didn't. My point is, you don't keep on going on that. And they back young like Ilias, and that's what happens. That's how the young kids get a go. I don't think the big senior players around Ilias have played good. Damien Cook, he's an international. He got dropped, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a state of origin. But has Cody Walker played to his best in the last couple of years?
No question. No question, but... people who made that decision with JD still on this decision.
Well, have a look at Jock Madden in a great system.
Yep.
But
it's the system letting them down.
And also, just because the outcome, we focus on the outcome, but you look back at the decision and you go, was that the correct decision at the time to make? And perhaps it was. And, you know, you could argue, you could make a case that, you know, in about 2 years' time, we're going to be sat here at Brisbane and we're going, why on earth did they sign Adam Reynolds and let Dearden go? Who was behind that decision? Why?
Absolutely.
You could imagine him.
Dearden's gone on to play Origin.
And he's an absolute gun.
Well, they backed Ezra Mam over Dearden.
No, but they could have been half and 5'8".
Well, they've also got Jock Madden at cheaper price.
So that's my point. Yeah. So then you don't always get every decision right, because people that go away get motivated. Like at the Dragons, when I left to Brisbane fans, why are they signing this guy? We've got Brad Thorne and Tony Carroll, right? So there's decisions that clubs make under the kids that are coming through that aren't quite first graders, and he's showing that much potential. Do we want to pay that or do this? And that's what happens every day in our business. And I don't think that you should get, you know, dragged over coals if you make that decision.
Hoops, who's making the decisions for South Sydney around recruitment at the moment? If it's not Jason and he's not involved.
The long term.
Who is making those decisions at the moment?
Well, it's the head of football, Mark Ellison, and it's the CEO, Blake Solly.
Right.
So they're the people who are in the driver's seat at this point in time. I feel for JD because of the poor results this year, I'm not sure he would have known about this Lewis Dodd play. It'll be fascinating to see whether he did know or not. And to your point about Adam Reynolds, Dobbo, I think South Sydney, clearly they did make a mistake in hindsight, right? But I would actually argue that under the coaching of Kevin Walters, I think Adam Reynolds has become a better player. I think his kicking game has improved out of sight. Right, and I actually think that it's been a good move for his career. I never wanted to see him leave South Sydney because he was a local junior, but I actually think by moving to the Broncos, it's prolonged his career and it's allowed him, it's unlocked some of his best footy.
Because he sits out three of the 4 weeks.
Well, I mean,
you just made a point. They don't have a committee. They don't have four or five guys sitting around a table talking about positions.
I think they did, Gordy, and it was obviously it's the head coach, it's the head of football, it's the CEO, and I think it's also another bloke who works under them as well. So they do have a committee.
So this would be my situation. So Billy Slater. So let's just talk Origin, right? No doubt he'd talk to Jonathan Thurston. He'd talk to Cameron Smith. He'd bounce players off all the guys that are around him. At the end of the day, it's his decision. But he'd have five or six or seven guys that he's bouncing around to. You would think every club should have some sort of committee to go, hey, we're short here in the front rowers. Who do you have? Why do you want him? Or like, these are the three guys that we're thinking of.
What do we need? What Wouldn't do we need that, yeah. to be successful next year? What do we need to improve next year?
Isn't that happening? Mate, I went to Leeds Soccer Club. This is when I was playing in 2000. And they walked us through on how they look at kids. They opened up this whiteboard and it folded out. It would have been 10 metres wide. The best 12-year-old kids, 13-year-old kids, 14-year-old kids, all the way through. You know, and in all different positions, what do they do? You know, what teams are, like, that's, doesn't that happen in our game?
I think where South started to unravel, Gordy, is when Wayne took him to that grand final in 2021. It's the old saying, the best coaches are also the best recruiters, right? So they didn't have an issue in terms of their roster. It was set up strongly. They had plenty of superstars. They felt as though they had the right talent coming through the ranks. But where it's gone pear-shaped is after he left, they made a prelim the following year. And then since that, that's where the results have really started to get ugly. And ultimately, it's going to cost JD his job because he was sitting on that committee when they made a lot of those decisions and he hasn't been able to get the results with the roster that he's wanted.
Yeah. The sad part is, and I was watching Greg Alexander and those guys that have been around a long time, I haven't seen a coach lose a playing group like this for like a long time. And more importantly, I haven't seen a coach, once he loses a playing group, get them back. Right? And the players have won this because Sam Burgess called them out for not training hard enough and all that kind of stuff. And obviously, they've still been allowed to do it. And in the end, it's probably cost him his job. And then I hate talking about coaches because, I mean, me looking after three or four kids, you got 30 kids, they've all got egos. You know, I mean, like, I couldn't imagine coaching the Broncos in my time. Mate, with Wendell, with, you know, Glenn Lazarus, Webke with his eating problems, Alfie Kevy. You know what I mean? Like, myself thought, like, mate, like, it would have been a nightmare. But, you know, to do that and keep everybody happy, it's a tough job being a rugby league coach. But
it like hosting this job, this show.
Trying to keep the three happy.
You should just be thankful. But thankful for
you
what?
Should just
what,
be thankful what, that, you're, that you're in the seat, that you're in the side. Mate, okay.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh really? I'm like last picked, am I?
Pretty much.
That's what you three don't understand.
You're about
understand.
Eight drop.
No, we're going to take a break on Sunday Sending on Triple M.
Shut up. The foot is on Triple M.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Shut up. The foot is on Triple M.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Welcome back to Triple M Sunday Sin Bin from Suncorp Stadium ahead of the Knights taking on the Dolphins here in Brisbane. James Graham, Gordon Tallis, James Hooper, Ben Dobbin with you. All thanks to Prosper Sunday Sin Bin. Parramatta beaten by Manly 32 points to 18 on Friday night. Brookvale or Fort Byne Stadium was sold out. James Hooper, you're on the sideline for this one, but it was all about Mike Acevo and the brain fade. Hey, look, he avoided suspension, but in a lot of ways, it cost Parramatta the chance of a victory after they got to a good first half-time lead, and then obviously Manly came back and in the end winning 32 points to 18.
Oh, the Eels are entitled to be fuming, Dobbo, because at 20 to 18 for Mike Acevo to have that brain snap, as you just described it, the way that he did, there was never going to be any benefit out of his actions. And as a result, it did cost the side heavily. And ultimately, it could have even greater ramifications because they're desperate to try and find ways to win. They're coming off a couple of poor performances. And then Micah produces that. Manly are damn hard to beat at Four Pines or the old Brookvale Oval. They're a very, very tough team to beat there. And for the Eels to hold their gloves up with a rookie halfback on debut in Ethan Sanders, I can't think of too many harder assignments than having to mark Hamole Olakuwado on debut, but I thought the young kid did an outstanding job. He looks as though he's going to have a bright future in the game, but for Parramatta, it was unforgivable what Micah did.
Well, Gutho and Brad Arthur had this to say in the post-match press conference about the incident.
Well, I won't lie, I was concerned after last week with the lack of effort, and now we fell in a massive hole. So initial thoughts is that we haven't lost the footy team, they're still there. And now we've just got to decide, you know, we talked about again, we've got to decide if it's full-time, all the time, with that effort, that courage that we showed. And if we keep doing that, we'll fight our way out of it. But I thought that in the second half, we'd probably beat ourselves.
That was a big flashpoint moment with Micah being sin binned. How did you see it?
It's dumb, isn't it? 2018. We're in front 4-3, I think. 10 or 11 minutes to go. Tackle 4. And they put a kick up. And hopefully we get the ball back.
Gutho, you shook your head then when Jimmy asked about Michael Seed. What were your views on?
No, just stupid.
We're right in the game. It's 10 minutes left. We just got Will back on. Last tackle, we catch the ball. We give ourselves a chance. Silly things at the moment that are really hurting us. Just missed tackles. Penalties are against us. Can't do that in NRL games. Doesn't matter who you're versing. Can't do that in NRL games.
Yeah, and James Hooper asking, it was very strong by the captain and Brad Arthur.
It's been a long time since I've heard a player do that to another teammate. They normally stick up from you, like they normally just would toe the corporate line. But I say it was stupid, it was dumb, and it cost us, you know. So obviously there's a tough week at Parramatta.
He was very frustrated, Gutherson, and the hardest part to accept from that is they just got Pennacini back on the field. At 13 aside, but for me, you know, we look at the end. Look at the week that Parramatta have had. The previous week's press conference was scathing. You know, he called his team part timers. He said that his team weren't willing to do the hard stuff. They only wanted to do the easy stuff. So, a week later, they're in the sheds at half time. It's 14-6 up. They were against the Dolphins. Was 8-4. 10-4, perhaps. I can't recall exactly. Yep. But then, so you're not too dissimilar situation. And again, Manly, some quick tries, and Parramatta, they didn't learn from the week previous. And, you know, the scoreline blew out, and yes, Sivo did a stupid thing, but
they're still making the same mistakes, Jimmy. Yeah. Is that the issue that you've got with them, given that they led at half-time?
Yeah, well, that's it, Hoops. If you look at the week that they've had, like, public scathing from your coach. Some players came out in the week and made some big statements about what they were willing to do, and they didn't do it. And I know Brad Arthur spoke about, you know, the courage that they showed, but they were in the exactly same situation, and they should never have got mowed down. They should, like, from at 14-6 at half time, they missed a couple of goals as well, but they should have closed that game out. They should have put some.
So whose fault's that?
Oh, well.
You think it's the coach?
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's everybody's fault.
I agree.
Yeah, it's everybody's fault. I don't think you can label.
Shut out a game. You've got to get the feeling. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to feel how it goes. I've always thought that when the players are up there and the coach is in the box, he's got to give you the keys. He's got to give you the steering wheel. Mm. And it's your responsibility to feel the ebbs and the flows, right?
And you know what? You know, maybe you look at that situation and go, well, if Moses was there, it would be different. But because of
he's not there, and I know he's not going to miss 10 or 12
weeks. He's not there, but also the fact that they had a capitulation against the Canberra Raiders, they got embarrassed by a significantly understrength Dolphins, that will carry on and that will linger and that will come and form part of the conversation or the criticism or the questions that go their way, even though if from an isolated incident, if that's Eels against Manly, you'd isolate you. Oh, well, yeah, unlucky Sivo, brain snap, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not. This is...
It's a flow on. Yeah.
It's a flow on.
Well, they've got the bye next week. So, I mean, they can regroup a bit. The concern that for Manly, well, obviously Olakuwato and Cherry Evans have been both booked and charged with the dangerous throw that happened early in the 5th minute.
I think they are going to challenge it.
But how in God's name they all got the same 2-match suspension as what Tane Milne did with the cannonball on the Thursday night? I am throwing my hands in the air now. I literally
Well, it depends on first offence, second offence, all that sort of. There are other mitigating factors, man.
I get that, but there was two people involved, and by the eye, it didn't look anywhere near as bad as what potentially Tane Milne did on Thursday night, Hoops. And the fact that they, Daly Cherry Evans, first offence, gets two, first offence for Olakau'atu and for also Cherry Evans, and they get a two-match suspension. Now, that's an
early play. It was a bad tackle. They flipped him above the horizontal.
What? So that's, so if you get him in a bad situation, that's it. And Milne, well, fair dinkum, he probably should have got a month.
Mate,
he should have got a month just for stupidity and a week for what he did. Like, it's just, I don't know. Mate, but the brain snaps, like, he's knocked blokes out. Like, he comes in and I don't know whether he's sinking.
Well, you know, clearly wasn't thinking then.
Mate, like, then Wayne used to hand us out this brain ball. It's just like this rubber brain. He'd throw it to the, you know, made to the dumbest play. Well, that's it for him.
We
should give out a brain ball every week.
You mentioned Ethan Sanders and what he did. You mentioned him. Hoops, is there any update? I mean, it's a cooling off period at the moment, and obviously there's negotiations going on. Are they any chance, Parramatta, of keeping him, or is that a lock that he'll be end up in Canberra?
No, I think all roads lead to the national capital and that he'll be with the Raiders next year. It's a great signing for them.
Yeah.
They've been this for a long, you know, negotiations have been going on for a long time. They weren't able to table anything official because they decided to alter the rules at the back end of last season that they couldn't formally table a contract until after round six, but it's no surprises that quickly after that, a deal has been lodged, and I think we'll see the young bloke, who is a Parramatta junior, down playing for the Green Machine next year.
He looked very, very good on debut. Anyway, they're going to have a decent bloke to fill in for Mitchell Moses. Why currently he is out injured?
Why did it take so long to pick him? Like, they had four different halves combinations prior to finally giving him a crack. And then when he did get a crack, that's probably the best they've looked over the course of the last month.
It's quite an interesting outcome. We saw him, his trial form was very good. I saw him one day against Canberra in a trial form at Parramatta. They played at Netstrata and he was very good as well. So I don't know. That's up to the Parramatta hierarchy, what's going on there. We're going to take a break. I call BS up next. This is the Sunday Sinbin for Prosper on Triple M.
Shut up. The foot is on Triple M.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Shut up! The foot is on Triple M!
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sinbin Live from Suncorp Stadium. A light shower just starting here. Fair day and just starting to drizzle.
Let's call it a sun shower.
I'm not looking forward to this. I'm on the sideline this afternoon. That's not good signs for me when it starts to...
Oh, I hope
come on, mate.
Storm.
This is why you're on the big bucks. Tough enough.
That's where you're wrong. Gordon Tallis, James Graham, James Hooper, Ben Dobbin, Sunday Sinbin, all thanks to Prosper. It is now time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Yeah, like their boots, Ariat Rebar Work Jeans won't let you down on the chuff jobs. Check out the range of Rebar Work Jeans at ariat.com.au. A very big congratulations to the owner, Terry Donoghue, who's just been made the patron today of the Australian Campdraft Association out there at the national finals. That happened last night at a gala dinner. Big, big supporters of rugby league and also camp drafting and horse sports, Ariat. So well done to all of them involved. I call BS. We're going to start with you, James Graham.
All right, okay. Interesting tactic to go to me first. I feel like you're avoiding it because you want the last say.
No, that's not right at all.
I know your tactics, Ben. My I call BS is the sale, or the price of rather, the captain's runs jersey for the State of Origin. It was in the Sunday Telegraph today. $200 for a captain's run jersey. Like, what's the point? You can actually get the...
For a captain's run jersey, captain's not run, the original, the captain's run jersey.
You can actually get the actual jersey for cheaper.
Yeah, that's a bit
rich. I don't get it.
Here I was thinking, okay, maybe if it's the jersey, but the captain's run jersey.
The captain's run, who on earth is going to go into the store and go, I'm going to pay more for a captain's run jersey than a normal one. It just...
Well, look, these are...
Mind-boggling.
Is this for the QRL or the New South Wales?
New South Wales and...
Yeah, and QRL, both of them.
And yeah,
QRL.
You can buy the captain's run jersey. And it's nice. It's a little bit different. I guess you stand out. But you're not going to pay more for it, are you?
$200 is a lot for a jersey if it's a captain's run jersey. James Hooper, you'd agree with that, wouldn't you? Like, I mean, I understand that they're currently in negotiations with the ARLC to try and get some funding out of them. But, I mean, to make it through the merchandise, gee whiz.
Well, talking about merchandise, this is a small one. Like, Anzac Day round is just, you know, Jimmy and I were talking about it and he's envious of it, right? Because it's such a great round. And I remember, I think I've only played twice on Anzac Day. And
yep.
Our jerseys, but the way the games, the way the clubs get involved, like South Bay and the Navy, you know, the Broncos. I thought the Cowboys jersey was absolutely outstanding, but it's a very strong Army presence. Like growing up in towns, like we've had the Army and the Air Force there for a long, long time, and they've been great in our community. And then some clubs that don't get involved, and it's just more like Penrith. Like, I love the pink jersey, right?
Yep.
But they didn't do anything to it. Like, they had a little poppy. Like, surely in your marketing, like, I went and watched West Panthers play in the A grade yesterday, just across the road at Purtell Park. They had the horses. They did Anzac Day properly. They had a special jersey. This is an amateur club. So if they can afford to go out there and get a special jersey for the players to wear on that day, it's an Anzac Day jersey round, you would think this is a club, this is a, you know, like a club that they were selling meat raffles yesterday, right? So this is not a big club that's won four in a row. So I just think that the NRL should really make an emphasis that the clubs look and wear proper jerseys out there, you know, just to really respect, you know, this
and Penrith's jersey, it was very similar to
what
it normally
had. And I love the pink jersey, and it's not that, but like, and all as it was they just put a little poppy on, you know, like, and you watch the Dragons, you watch the Roosters wore that light blue jersey, and the reason they wore the light blue jersey, because through the war, they run out of the material for their normal colour. So like, and I think most clubs now get it, and I just thought that Penrith, you know, might have done something just a little bit better than that. But my real BS is the Appy Coruscant try. Last night, like, and I'm sitting there, right, and probably to the letter of the law because he drops it and he doesn't, you know.
Did he not re-grip it though, Gordy?
Well, to me, like, I'm sitting at home, and if that's a kick, if it's a grubber and he hits it, it's only when the ball hits the ground. If there's no separation, that's a try. Because he's reached out and the ball, he's lost the grip, they say that you can't regather the ball and then the ground is not. But they do if you kick the ball.
Yeah.
So I think we just got to have probably one rule over the try line, right? If that's a kick or if the ball's on the ground and he touches it, but when the ball hits the grass, if his hand's firmly on it, I think that's a try. I think Appy Coruscant, yes, there was separation. We all saw, you know, the inch of separation. But then he gets his hand fully on it and he slams the ball down. I would have been happy to give that a try, but probably to the letter of the law.
Yeah, they brought that rule in, I think, at the start of the previous year where
the game can't.
Any separation. And yeah, I'm with you. I would have no issue game wide if that was to be awarded a try. In try scoring situations, if you score the try, it's.
Yeah, so. And because the great Bill Harrigan told me you don't need to have control of the football, you only got to have downward pressure.
Yeah.
I think that's in the rule book. So did he get downward pressure? Yes. Did he have full control of the ball? Well, you don't have to have full control of the football because when the ball's kicked, like, and you touch it with the fingertip, he had more control over that football than you would if I dived and touched it with my thumb.
Yeah, look, it's obviously one that's going to be talked about. James Hooper, your I Call BS.
Just on Gordy's, you watch that try 100 times in real speed, and I can't see how it's not a green light every single time. Yep. So I felt for the Tigers because I'm not saying they would have won that game against Brisbane. They wouldn't have the form and the mood that the Broncos were in, all the ball that they had, all the field position that they had.
Yeah.
But that was a big moment in the game at 10-0, it would have been 10-6, and then it ends up being 16-0 at half time.
Well, points gives you confidence, Hoops. Mate. And that's it. If it would have happened, it would have said, hey, boys, mate,
we're in the arm wrestle.
Working on all week, yep, mate, it's working. Let's just stick to it.
My BS Dobbo is the Manly Seagulls and this contract scenario that they've ended up in with Josh Schuster. How they thought it was a good idea to extend the bloke on a $4 million deal, and then here we are less than 9 months later, and they've had to part ways and face a massive payout as a result. It's in excess of $1 million. Then you look at also the way that they're, they're still in a legal bun fight with Dez about his departure from the club as well. So, look, they're doing some good things at the moment on the field, the Seagulls. They got the balance right, and Tommy Turbo's in cracking form, as are plenty of the other big-name players in that roster. But I just thought on the Schuster decision, that'll go down in the Hall of Fame as one of the worst contracts in the history of the
game.
That's
what happens when you get the managers running your club, brother.
Well, that's what happens as well.
That's what happens.
Yeah, and a very good point. Just quickly, I just do want to bring up...
I call BS.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. And
is it the way you dress today?
Or no, what? It's not. It's actually...
On me.
Paul from Cabramatta?
No. I'm not going to call all that. I would just say this now, that... I think we're all, I know we have a lot of fun here, but I would say that as a group, we're pretty united off the airways. We're all pretty close.
I'm glad you think that.
Well, either way. So when I go and support friends and I look for support, I would expect a little bit of support back. So with Ariat, everybody got a set of free Ariat boots. When I started here, it was a gift and it's that. Well... Not everybody shares the same thought process here. There's one member who I had to go and buy my own T-shirt from this week because there was no offer, there was no freebie, and it's not you, Gordon. You're very generous. You've been very generous to my family over a long period of time. Hoops, very generous, drops me to the airport every single week, never asks a single question.
Good man.
There's only other one tight-ass, miserable, red-headed bloke here, and I've had to go
Can
and buy
Can we get Paul from Cabramatta back on the phone, please?
I've had to go and buy myself a bloody buy-around T-shirt. It never got off, but I rang up the other business partner and said, is there any freebies? No, mate, you've got to pay. James won't give it.
Do you know what? I agree with that. I'm going to jump in on that one because I've asked for a buy-around shirt
and
as well.
You didn't get one either? No. I had to pay.
But hold on. Listen.
You can keep out of this, please.
Listen.
You get right out of this.
You actually have to pay. I've been part of the buy-round.
We're going to take a break.
No, let's not take a break. That was staying on air, Mr. Dobbin.
No,
yes, we are, mate.
No, we're going to take a break. Sunday, Cindy on Triple M. Shut up. The foot is
on Triple M. This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply. Sunday is not the day to relax because Triple M Footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
Rugby league.
We love it.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Stand up and applaud.
Gotta love your rugby league.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Yeah, welcome back to Suncorp Stadium. Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. All thanks to Prosper, Gordon Tallis, James Graham, James Hooper, Ben Dobbin with you. Under an hour to kick off. We'll give you all the team updates very shortly as well. The Roosters made a big statement on Anzac Day against St George. A really impressive performance, and Sam Walker, it was a masterclass. He won his second Anzac Day medal, which was quite unbelievable. He was very good. Hoops, have they said and made a statement to the whole of the NRL that the Roosters are back and that they are going to be there when the whips are cracking at the back end of the season?
Oh, it was an outstanding performance, but you'd want to see them put together a good 6 to 8 weeks of solid form, similar to that against... the best opposition that the competition's got to offer before you'd make that sort of statement. On Sammy Walker, Ben, look, he was 11 out of 10 last Thursday on Anzac Day. And if you go back 12 months, he was actually dropped for this game, the corresponding game last year. So for him to come out, he'd had to been forced to sit out for a couple of weeks as a result of an HIA. But for him to come out and showcase that talent that he has got, it was brilliant, and I think that'll do his confidence a world of good.
Geez, there's a lot of talk around that he eventually
will leave the Roosters. My understanding is that he wants to be a Rooster for the rest of his life. I know that people say, oh, there'll be a homecoming potentially. He comes to the Broncos. I don't think that's ever an option. From the discussions, I just don't think there's a desire for him to come back to Brisbane. I think when he was a Brisbane junior, he was in the development and they went another direction. And I think in some ways it's personal because they didn't want Sam Walker at that stage. And when the meetings happened and it's been well documented that he was at boarding school and he had to get an Uber in on his own and mate, the Roosters when
but that was a different coach and a different.
I get all that, but it all goes to play. I don't think he leaves the Roosters.
Well, and his two uncles and his dad got moved on from the Broncos as well.
Yeah.
So there's history.
Yeah, but one won a premiership there, so I mean.
Yeah, I know, but so that's what happens.
Yeah, well, either way, I think this talk, you know, that he potentially could leave the Roosters, I don't think that's.
But Brisbane played in the grand final, I think, where they got the halves, right? And if he went on the market, how many clubs would actually chase him and pay him what he's on at the Roosters?
Oh, there'd be plenty of clubs.
I think plenty of clubs. I think there'd be five or six clubs that would all chips in if Sam Walker became available on the open market.
Well, that's what he's got to do then.
Well, given the shortage of quality halves, like you look with the exception of Nathan Cleary, most of the best halves in the comp now are all well into their 30s. So you got a player like Sam who's still very much on the upward trajectory. I think, Gordy, that comfortably, you know, it could be pushing the $1 million mark.
Well, it's the weakest position in our game at the moment, halves.
Why is that?
Oh, because it's not coached at junior level. They're not allowed to express themselves. They got to pass, they got to wear bibs, the halfback. It's something that the game really needs to look at. Everybody, like all the great players, want to play fullback. There's no doubt that if Reece Walsh, if he's playing number six, he could play six or seven. Like if that kid from 15 or whatever played and fed the scrum, there's no doubt that he could not be a halfback. But all our good ones want to play fullback. Like I think that's like, and that's the new gun position. When I was growing up, everybody wanted to play 5-8ers because the heroes wore the number six jersey, right? And then now I think it's like moved. Like the best players wear like number one. They don't wear number seven anymore. They don't wear number six. Number one are the best players. Like if you talk about the best players in the game, like Tommy or Teddy or whatever, we don't really talk about the sevens other than Cleary being the best players in the game. So I think it's something that I hear Andrew Johns talk about it quite frequently, that it's something that we really need to look at.
Yeah, just on Sam Walker, his short kicking game on Thursday was absolutely magnificent. He had the ball on a piece of string. You know, the Dragons defenders didn't know if he was going to run, pass. Inevitably, he kicked a lot and got the ball in behind. It was some sensational play. I think that's the best the Roosters have played. And they took a fair bit of adversity and a fair bit of get going as well. You know, the Dragons scored that magnificent try to start the game. And I think that in my opinion, they've been missing their most informed player in Victor Radley. I thought that was a huge loss. So credit to them for coming back. But in terms of them, I think they're in the conversation for a top 14, but there's plenty of, they need to get a run of form together before we can start making statements about them being back or back to their best. It was a good performance, solid victory, disappointing from the Dragons, and Coach Shane Flanagan spoke after the game. The Roosters, they need a bit more consistency and more results in the bag.
Everybody, and the three of you have attacked me about this banning of the kickoff, and, you know, and once again, there was another incident.
Wake up to yourself.
Well, I'm just
okay.
I'm just
cool.
Don't point.
Listen, okay, you little woke, you little wok or woke, whatever you want to be called. I think we call you wokey instead of woke. If you ban the kickoff, right? Then after that set of six, when they kick it down 40 metres, they're not allowed to kick 40 metres either.
Gordon.
Robbo. So then they can't kick anything long. If you can't kick it 50 metres at the beginning, don't do a big long, mate, don't take our 40-20s because you're not allowed to kick it long there.
Did Moses Suli's concussion, HIA, ruined the game in the sense that St George were at a disadvantage from the
first. It ruined the game for you. I got that many text messages saying how tough Jared Aria Hargreaves. He got hit on the chin and stands there. that was the performance. That there is the big alpha male putting the stick in the ground and going, they tried to bash me and they couldn't.
Moses surely didn't try and bash him.
Okay.
Yeah, he did.
Mate,
yeah, he did.
Dobbo.
Man, that's the whole point of the kickoff carry. You bash them when they return. Man.
Sit down. You don't need to stand up to get your point
also,
across.
In terms of, did it ruin the game? Absolutely not. A week ago, we called the Bulldogs game against Tom Isaac Newcastle Knights. That's the Dragons' decision to put him there. That's the Dragons' decision to put him there. The Bulldogs last week against Newcastle lose Chris Patolo in the first two sets of the game. He goes off. They bring on Sam Hughes. Their bench is Blake Taff, and no other middle forwards.
Yeah.
So.
And they still put on a clinic.
And they still won. They still won. They had a kid there who's played. That was his second game. So in terms of the kickoff, what's happening now, unfortunately, is every time there's an incident, it gets highlighted and this conversation starts again.
Because people like this.
I'm just thinking of the ways that our game can continue to get.
Well, is there an unacceptable risk of injury?
Because you'd let it go.
So answer me this, Chris. Is there an unacceptable risk of injury on a kickoff?
It depends on what? It depends on a lot of things. Tackling technique, the distance that they're coming from, all these other factors contribute.
Is there an unacceptable risk of injury?
Yes.
You think that there is?
I think there is.
You think the game has a responsibility to remove that aspect of the game?
I am going to tell you this.
Go on, tell me what.
And I want you, the three of you, to listen to me. And I am, my kids have played rugby league. My eldest has played rugby league. The twins will play rugby league. But the problem is that not every parent who wakes up with young men and women, young boys and girls now, are really confident to let them play.
Because so they're woke, and the next time we've got to go to war, mate, the mothers will go for their kids.
So are you saying because...
Listen here. No.
Hang on.
UFC's the fastest... No, mate, you've had your say. You don't want to ban. Right, you want to ban. UFC's the fastest growing sport. Stop talking. UFC's the fastest growing sport. Do I like it? No, but there is something about that, right? We should not apologise for being rugby league. It's a run that I couldn't do, that I can't do. I used to stand there in awe of the blokes that did it. So no more Shane Webke. So let's get it out and let's have all wingers and Sam Walker's all kicking the ball around and play that. That's called AFL. Right,
or play touch,
mate. We got a game called rugby league, and that's what happens. Right, so all these woke people leave our game alone. Right, you're getting the urn out of the game because of what
I
they
love
do.
The game.
No, well, don't change it. Don't sit there and go, this is what's got to happen, my kids. Don't worry about your kids.
I'm
if they're tough enough, they'll
me.
Play it, and if they fall off the back, they do. Right, rugby league's not for everybody, mate. I hate the way we got to apologise because we're brave, we're tough. Or Shane Webke stood back there and he charged into him, and we go, "Oh, geez, he hurt that kid." Do you know that centre? Stay out in the centres. Get in your lane. Let the front rowers play with the front rowers. Let the wingers play with the wingers. Let everybody play in their own spot.
Yeah, professional sport. It isn't for everyone.
It's not.
It's not for everyone. And there's an element of risk and danger that attracts certain people to our game. So
every mum buys their kid a bike. The most dangerous thing in our country is a road.
I will say
there's
this
more people
to you,
die on the road every day.
I'll say this now to you.
Just hang on.
Don't let your kids ride a skateboard. Don't let them jump on a bike.
Don't let them become poets. Right, it's a spectacle versus safety debate, right? So is the kickoff part of the spectacle?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Is it an important, integral part of the spectacle of the sport?
No.
No, you don't think it is?
No, I don't.
Is there an unknown risk to poor technique in the kickoff, carry or tackle? Every player knows the risk.
Yeah.
So you take responsibility, and it's an aspect of the game that I think if we are going to completely remove, A, what do you replace it with?
You don't have to remove it.
Okay, you don't. Dude. What do you do? What's the solution?
Okay,
give us one solution, and I will pick holes, and I'll create more. You will create
your
more
kickoff,
problems.
Your
tell
kickoff
me, tell
has
me.
To go. Yeah. It has to go between the 40 and 30 meter line. So it's a high. It's like, you know, you could even use it as a drop kick and go high, and that's the starting point.
That's rugby union, mate.
Well, that's not. No,
rugby union.
I don't have a problem with the players getting injured out here. I have a problem with mum at home sitting, watching TV with a son and seeing, and then go, we're not going to let our junior
kids
play.
Don't let them go to a nightclub.
Oh,
don't let them go anywhere. Dobbo, don't let them go anywhere.
Okay, Ben.
Don't worry about mum.
Ben, you're going to remove the kickoff. You've not really provided a solution.
He hasn't been to junior rugby league. It's the safest game.
And
the stats showed that rugby league was the safest game from a New South Wales university when I sat on the board of the NRL. The safest game to play in this country. Netball's the worst because they dive and they do their knees.
Why did they ban tackling in the young
people like you keep on talking about.
No, I don't.
Because it's different. Because that's different. Because that's different.
They've got to learn how to tackle.
That's different. Ben, okay, let's
Why are there training wheels on push bikes?
Some people say alt start with a T.
Why?
Because they've got to learn how to ride a bike.
There you go. So that's the training wheels in rugby league. So I went there yesterday, and today the West Panthers play. It is so safe. They go run around. It is like you fat kids all on cupcakes just running around trying to get there. It is so beautiful watching these kids learn how to play the game. As they get bigger and they grow into men, they've got to get the technique right. A bit like everything in life, you've got to learn the disciplines of it.
Okay.
And once they get the discipline of it, they don't get knocked out like that.
Yeah, some people have said we should start the game with a tap.
I've never said that.
Some people have. And my argument is, is the player allowed to run hard off the tap? Is the opponent allowed to tackle hard off the tap? Is this going to be allowed? Because it's deemed too risky, too dangerous? Like, how do you solve the problem with not creating more, or how far down this line do you go?
One of the leading coaches in the NRL has told me that he believes the distance between the
tell him to give all of his money back and go coach netball.
We're going to take a break.
Who is it?
Sunday Sydney.
Who was
on
the
Wayne.
Shut up. The foot is on Triple M.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Shut up! The foot is on Triple M!
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Gordon Tallis, James Graham, James Hooper, Ben Dobbin with you. Sunday Simbin, all thanks to Prosper. A little under 25 minutes now to kick off. Dan Ganane will be your caller. It'll be the Dolphins taking on the Knights from Suncorp Stadium. It's now time for the Mitsubishi Triton's toughest player. Thanks to the new gen Mitsubishi Triton, nothing can frighten a Triton. James Graham, your Mitsubishi Triton toughest player for this week.
Yeah, this week's Mitsubishi Triton's toughest player comes with a tinge of sadness, and it's Sharks retiring skipper Dale Finucane. Dale was a part of the Bulldogs junior system when I landed at the club, and I can remember just being immediately drawn to him and impressed by him and Josh Jackson, who really stood out, and I knew he was going to have a long and successful career. And that career has been cut short, you know, by at least a couple of years. And I think listening to Dale's press conference, the way he handled himself, he was magnificent. I spoke with Dale before he got those results from the medical experts that, you know, deemed that he wasn't right to play. I don't know the ins and outs of that. That's not my story to say. But I remember speaking to him about some of the potentialities of that. That conversation, that consultation, and he, you know, you've got to admire his toughness. Even, you know, some of his words where he was being told he couldn't play, he's still trying to look to see if there's a possibility to, and, you know, in the end he says that there wasn't a decision. And, you know, we talk about banning of the kickoffs and whatnot, but our game is tough. It has some unintended consequences that are at times unavoidable. Dale played with his heart on his sleeve, way above his weight, put his head in areas that others wouldn't, and that's a big reason why he was so revered down in Melbourne. And Coach Bellamy, who's one of the most respected coaches in our game, if you listen to Coach Bellamy speak about Dale Finucane, you know, it goes a long way, words like that, and it would mean so much to him. I love playing with Dale. I love to call him a friend. He was a magnificent competitor. I love being in the trenches with him, and it's a sad day. But in terms of toughness as well, I think when you do that risk assessment and you look at it, it's the correct thing for a very, very tough man, one of the toughest men in the NRL, to make that call. It's toughness in a different way.
Yeah, and well said. He was everywhere he's gone. And look, Jammer, obviously you know him better than most, that it was what he brought off the field as well. Yeah. And you talk about culture, it gets thrown around a lot, but just everybody said the same thing.
He's a great fella. And then last year when I sat on 360, I saw him come on the show a couple of times. His rundown, like the attention to detail, like how much, every question. So there's five questions. It's like seven different answers for every question. So, and Craig Bellamy, what he said about him is just so loud. He said he gave Melbourne Storm more than Melbourne Storm gave him, and I've never heard him speak like
that's
that.
That's the phrase.
Wasn't it? He said something like, he gave Melbourne, and there's been some players go through that organisation, and the biggest names ever, like Glenn Lazarus, probably the greatest front rower, Cameron Smith, the greatest hooker, Billy Slater, the greatest ever fullback, Greg Inglis. I always say on the footy field that 13 Greg Inglises in the footy that I've watched since a kid, since I was about 13, 13 Greg Inglises don't get beaten against any other 13 guys. And, you know, so to be held in high esteem from those guys, congratulations on a wonderful career. But I don't think he'll be lost. I think with his attention to detail, he'll probably go into coaching or something. They would say, I heard someone say about Josh Jackson, how he used to be sort of very similar to that. So what they do is they go down, and I think they gave him the jersey flag at the Bulldogs, and they said he's going to turn into a really good coach because of the determination and discipline.
Very, very good. Okay.
Just quickly, on Gordon's point there, you know, Dale is a very smart person, and sometimes you have an association because you're tough that you're dumb. But he's not.
No.
He's tough. He's educated. He's smart. He's methodical. He thinks about things.
That's right. Yeah.
He prepares well. Like, there's some dumb people out there that I've seen that are very tough.
Don't look at me like that. You wouldn't be looking at Dobbo. But when you said dumb and tough in the same sentence, you left him out.
It's like, yeah, dumb, tough.
Oh, God. I need to...
There's not so much I can take today. I can tell you this now. Can we just have a quick look at this game that's about to get underway? It's only 20 minutes. It's 20 minutes away from kickoff. Both sides 1-17. The Dolphins have shown that they're in this fight. They are a top eight side, in my opinion. This is a watershed.
They're on the fringe of the eight.
Well, this for the Knights is watershed for me today because they need to get back in the winner's circle. They've had a rotten start to the year. Their halves combination have been up and down like yo-yos. They haven't really found their groove yet. And with no Caelan Ponga...
This is the start of their season. I would say for the Knights, if I was playing there all week or if I had anything to do with them, this is the start. The standard that we set this Sunday at Suncorp Stadium against the Dolphins is the standard and where everybody will judge us for the rest of the year. So they got to come out against the Dolphins side. That is beatable. They're not going to go away. They're going to be resilient, all those things. They went up to Darwin last week. They were outstanding. But Newcastle need to draw a line in the sand today for their fans and for everybody that follows them.
You're right, Gordon. It is the start of the new season.
It is.
The Newcastle Knights, I think they've got to resign to the fact that they've lost Ponga for the year. And it's almost a new style of play, a new identity. They're so over-reliant on Ponga and his ability to create and open up the game. Absolutely. They've got to find a different way. And perhaps you'd look to the model that Canberra Raiders do. They play very smart, simple football, and then when the opportunities arise, then they throw the ball around. I think the Newcastle Knights need to strip it right back and just do the fundamentals well, be in a position where they don't beat themselves, and then if you're not beating yourself, that builds confidence, you're still in the game, and then hopefully you ice it with a bit of Bradman Best magic.
Absolutely.
Or something like that. He's your go-to man, but don't go to him too early. You got to stay in the fight, earn the right, and take other teams into deep water, because I think the Dolphins, they're missing plenty as well. So they're certainly beatable, but I think you're correct in what you say. It's the start of the new season.
And there's one thing you've got to do today. If you don't match the Dolphins' enthusiasm, so that would be that would have been up in highlights for me all week, match their enthusiasm, beat them to the punch.
Yeah.
The one little bit of solace, the one little bit of solace the Knights can take, boys, is they have been here before. 2-5 is a very poor standard and a very poor start by expectations for them this season. But they were here last year. The difference was they had their best player on the field and he went on a run of form that ultimately led him to the Dally M medal. So to Jimmy's point, you're right, they're going to have to change the style of football that they play, simplify things a lot, because you know against the Dolphins team, even though Wayne Bennett didn't make the trip to Darwin last week, they just don't quit. Bennett teams generally never do. So they're going to be up for this game at Suncorp this afternoon.
Just on that, did Wayne get given the week off because he was negotiating with other clubs?
He was sick.
He's done the Taruva.
They stood him down for a week because we knew that you were negotiating.
He just
somewhere.
Can't focus. He's got this.
Gordy, ask his chief publicity officer. He's sitting about a metre away from you.
No.
Well, that's
Trent
not McClain true.
And Peter Bedell's mate. And Peter Bedell doesn't work on Sundays at Triple M.
You want to not start throwing rocks, Mr. Protector? You know, Hoop's trying to say that I'm a mouthpiece for Wayne. That's just not right. Fundamentally not right.
No, mate, all of them use you. Don't pretend they don't.
Anyway, just quickly before we wrap up, and I'll hand you over to Dan Ganane. I do want to congratulate Ricky Stewart, who will coach his 500th game this afternoon against
what a great
the Sharks. An absolute icon of the game, and I do want to say congratulations, Ricky. We're going to take a break very shortly, come back, and kick off not far away. The Knights taking on the Dolphins as Triple M rocks the football, the Sunday Sin Bin, all thanks to Prosper, live from Suncorp Stadium.
Shut up! The foot is on Triple M!
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply. Triple M footy lives on Listener. Thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.